Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and, having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Thank you. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And then let's join together in verse 29 as well. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Let's pray together and we'll be seated and we'll start. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, it's always a thrill to come to the house of God. I thank you for each one that's here this morning. Thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I know that you will bless them for their faithfulness because that's how you do. Lord, meet with us this morning. We want to hear from heaven, not from me. We want to hear from you. But I pray that you'll use us here this morning in the midst of thy people. Bless the preaching of your word and help us to learn and apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. You know, as we approach December, I mean, we're just a couple of days away, aren't we? Something like that, I think. December, well, Wednesday is the 2nd, so Tuesday, I guess, the 1st. Whenever I get into the month of December, my mind begins to leap forward to January, because what's the big event in January? The new year, right? So, as I approach a new year, and you may be the same in this, that I begin to look at areas of my life in which I want to improve, or change, or maybe start something, or maybe stop something, or what do we call that? A New Year's what? Resolution. I'm not sure if I like the word resolution, but I do like to make New Year goals. And I think maybe a lot of you do the same. So I begin looking at the New Year, and I have this same one every single year. Usually we change them every year, but this particular one, I have the same one. It's part of my goals every single year, and that's this. To fall deeper in love with the Scripture. It's to maybe up my reading schedule of the Scripture. It's to get a greater understanding and a better appreciation for the Scripture that God has given us. And so this morning, I don't want that to be there. Let me back up. There we go. So this morning I want to preach this message, Knowing the Scriptures. And I want to talk to us just about the Scripture today. And I'm excited about that and looking forward to it. You know, I come down to verse 29 and this phrase jumps off the page at me. In fact, my wife shared it with me the other day from her personal devotion. She said, look at this verse. And when she read it to me, it's like the Holy Spirit was saying some things to me, and I just couldn't get it off my mind. I said, man, that's a great verse. And of course, knowing I was going to be speaking this morning, had a different message I may have preached, but I worked on this one and got it ready. I said, I want to preach on that. So imagine if Jesus came to you and said that same phrase that he was saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If he said, looked at you and said, you err. Knowing not the Scriptures. Wow, that would be a sting. To me it would. I would sting if the Lord said that to me. You're in error. You're wrong. You've made a mistake. You err because you don't know the Scriptures. Ooh, that would hurt. And so as I approach a new year, I resolved to myself, Lord, I want to have a deeper understanding of the Scripture. Mind you, we'll never know it all. Why is that? It's an eternal book. This isn't like a history book down at school. This isn't like a science book down at school, though it's very accurate on its history and it's very accurate on its science. It's not that kind of a book. It's an eternal book. It's a living book. It's a book that was in heaven before the worlds were ever created. And so because it's eternal, We'll never learn it all. We'll never know it all. One day in heaven, we'll sit at the feet of Jesus, I believe, and have Him teach us and lecture us about the Scripture. Won't that be a time? But He says, ye do err, not knowing the Scripture. Well, I want you to, I want to show you some definitions here about this word err. By the way, I'm trying out this new on you today. I've finally gotten the hang of using the PowerPoints in a Sunday school or a Wednesday night study, but I haven't done it preaching yet, so this is my first try, so we'll see how we go. But I want you to see this definition of the word err. I think we really have a pretty good handle of it, but it's good to see. First of all, it means to wander from the right way. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is the right way. It says to deviate. Now, you know what deviate means? It means to get off the straight and narrow. To deviate from the true course. This tells us the true course. Or purpose. Secondly, it means to miss the right way. In morals or religion, to deviate from the path or line of duty. We are soldiers, aren't we? And we are in the line of duty. We fight against the devil every day. What line of duty, or to stray by design or mistake. This one is where Christians fall into. I mean, we can do that too, but this one really brings it down. To mistake, to commit error, to do wrong from ignorance or inattention. I'll get ahead of myself. I've got this later in my notes, but there really are only two types of Christians. Christians that err simply because they're ignorant. In other words, well, why would they be ignorant? Well, maybe they just got saved. That's a good example, right? Just got saved. They don't know a whole lot about this Christianity thing. They're new baby Christians, so they don't know a lot. So guess what? They're going to err out of ignorance until they learn it. Then there's Christians who err from inattention. It's one thing to not know it, but it's another thing to know what the Bible says, but just flat out disregard it. Ah, that hurts. And we don't want to be that type of a Christian. And then lastly, to wander or to ramble. Well, those are good definitions for the word err. If we just stuck that into our verse this morning, Jesus said, you know, you guys wander from the right way. You have deviated from the true course. You're missing the right way. You've deviated from the path of the line of duty. You make a mistake. You commit error. You do wrong. You wander. You ramble because you know not the Scripture. Well, that could be our case this morning if we're not careful. I believe a good starting place for our message this morning is to first understand the importance of the Scripture. I want you to go with me. I've got lots of verses I'll show you on the wall, but a couple I want you to go with me. This one in particular, verse Psalm 138. This is an astounding verse. If you're there, say amen. All right, good. Psalm 138. Let's look at verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Now, read this last phrase with me. Ready? Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. My, my, my. That astounds me. That's an amazing verse to me. The Lord said that He has magnified His word above His name. And that's just amazing to me. God says, look, I want you to understand how important my word is. I want you to understand that my word was settled in heaven before the foundations of the world. Before there ever was anything, His word was established. He said, I want you to understand that my son, Jesus Christ, is the living word. He's a representation of the written word. And so my word is very important to me because it represents my son. He said, I want you to get a handle of this, that the word would become important to you as believers because that's how you grow. That's how you feed yourself. That's how you get yourself to learn and to grow in the Christian life. If you don't eat spiritual food, you will not grow. Just like if I don't eat physical food, I won't grow. And I've been growing a little too much lately. I got to get rid of that. So the Lord says, I want you to understand the importance of the Scripture. It is so important that I've elevated it, I've exalted it, I've magnified it above my own name. Wow, that's an amazing Scripture for me. I want to show you some other verses here now about the Word of God. These are good. I'll try to go through them quickly. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, the word law, testimony, statutes, these are all other words for the Bible. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Oh, I forgot that one. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I quoted that one. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, another word, judgment, another word for the Bible, of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Get this verse. More to be desired are they than gold. What's more to be desired? The words, the commandments, the testimonies, the statutes, the law. They are to be desired more than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I think I've got another one here. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified how many times? In case you didn't know, 7 is the number of perfection. 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. I like this. This is a verse that we use to substantiate the doctrine of preservation. In other words, God inspired His Word, did He not? He spoke it. That's the inspiration. But He also preserved it for us. Here we are, thousands of years later, we still have His Word. Why is it? Because He kept them and He preserved. So He says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Next one, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. And then Luke 11:28, he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So that's the importance of the Scripture, and I'm just scratching the surface. I had so many verses to choose from. And I just chose a few. The Bible has so much to say about itself. Well, let's move on in our lesson here. Number one, there's another one here. Hebrews 4:12, okay? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable to us. Amen. Great verses. So, we want to know the Scriptures this morning. People of the world do not know the Scriptures. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22 tells us. So our first point this morning is people of the world do not know the Scriptures. You say, that's a weird thing to say. Of course they don't. Well, you're right. Of course they don't. Of course we don't. Of course it goes without saying they don't know the Scriptures. Why would they? They're unsaved. And consequently, they err. They live in error. But you know, there was a day, not that awfully long ago, that even lost people had a bit of Scripture sense. In my lifetime. Now, I'm years old, and I'm 57. I'll be 58 in February, Groundhog's Day. Write that down. It's my birthday. February 2nd. In my lifetime. In the 50s. You could talk about the Bible. Even a lost person would be familiar with what you were saying. They would know the story of Adam and Eve, for instance. They would know the story of Noah or something about it. They would know something about the Ten Commandments. If nothing else, they watched Cecil B. DeMille, Great Commandment, the classic movie. They would know about Jesus dying on a cross. Now, they may not believe these things, as in trusting it for their salvation, but there was a time in our country when there was some scripture sense. People kind of knew some things about the Bible. And consequently, because we lived in a society that had some scripture sense, guess what? There was more morals in our society. Man, look where we are today. Look where we are today. And it all, I think some of it started in the year 1962. Let's see, 58, 60. Yeah, I would have been 4 years old, so I didn't even know about it yet. 1962, the Supreme Court decided in Congress to take the Bible and prayer out of the public school system. And ever since that year, it's been a slippery slide straight down. And that's a shame. And we are where we are today, I believe, big part because of that. And, you know, back in those days, the biggest crime in school was because someone was chewing gum in class. That was, whoa, hey, you're in trouble for that. You're chewing gum in class. Now they're taking guns in class and killing their classmates. So I think a lot of that has to do with removing the Bible from the classroom. How about that? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Bible tells us about those kind of people. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So it's all foolishness. We talk nowadays, we talk about the Bible, we talk about preaching, we talk about spiritual things. It's a bunch of foolishness to them. They err because they know not the Scripture. But listen, people need to know the Scripture. You say, did you talk about the lost people? Yes, they need to know the Scripture. They need to know the Scripture that says, hey, God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. They need to know that Scripture, don't they? They need to learn about the Savior. They need to know that Jesus loves them. And that's why we have a Faith Promise Mission program here, hallelujah. Because we're getting that Scripture out into the world. That's why we have a soul winning program too. We want to get that Bible, that Scripture out into the world. The people of the world do not know the Scripture, but they need to know. And so we'll just keep telling them. We'll keep telling them. We'll keep praying for them. We'll keep preaching it. Right? I was out soul winning one time and this was a funny experience. I'll never forget it. I knocked on a lady's door in a big long street so I could see right down the street that way, several houses. I could see houses down that way. Knocked on the door. She came to the door and she looked perturbed. She goes, what is it? And you get that sometimes, right? So I said, hi, I'm Kelly. I'm from, would have been Emmanuel Baptist Church at that time in Morgantown, pastor and I's home church. Emmanuel Baptist Church here in Morgantown, just out of this, inviting people to church. She put her hands on her hips and she leaned out the door. She says, would you look up the street and down the street? I was like, she said, do you see anybody else out here doing this? I was like, well, no. And she slammed the door like, what are you, like I was some kind of a nut doing this. No one else was doing it. Why are you doing it? So, but you know what? We got to keep going. And you'll get some strange responses at doors, but nonetheless, we've got to keep going with the gospel, keep taking the Scripture, and telling those people who need to learn it, they need to learn it and obey it and be saved. Let me move on here. So that was kind of a no-brainer one. People in the world, they don't know the Scripture, and therefore they live in error. That kind of goes without saying. Obviously, they don't know the Scripture, nor can they know it without the author living inside them. But once they get saved, then they can begin to learn the Scripture. But number two, people of the way. Not only do people of the world, they do not know the Scriptures, but people of the way do not know the Scriptures. Now, who do you think the people of the way are? It's us. It's thus Christians. Sadly enough, even Christians don't know Scripture. I'm talking about saved, born-again, blood-washed people who err not knowing the Scriptures. Friend, do you know your Bible? Do you have a handle on your Bible? When you leave church today, do you throw it up in the back shelf of the back window there, and that's where it stays till next Sunday? Or do you go home and toss it on the coffee table, and then it collects dust for 7 days, and you pick it up next Sunday, brush it off, and come to church? Or do you have it out every morning, and you're into its pages? Do you know your Bible, friend? And if not, I have to say, why not? You come to a Bible preaching church, and I've been here 13 weeks now, and I hear good preaching every Sunday. Good Bible preaching every Sunday. But let me tell you something. It's not enough to hear good preaching on Sunday. I have to be in this book on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And back again on Sunday here to hear it preached. But then Monday morning again, boom. Monday, Tuesday. I've got to have that Bible. And you do too. Listen, if you don't know the Bible, why not? Is it simply because of laziness? It's there. On my screen, it's cut off, but you got it there. When it comes to the Scriptures, you mustn't be lazy. Look at these two good verses. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study! We thought we got rid of that word when we graduated from high school, right? Study, huh? No. Yeah, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. It is hard work to study the Bible. It's not a book for a lazy person. And you've got to do some work and study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Give an answer. What if someone came up to you and said, hey, could you show me how to be saved? Can you take the Bible and show me how to be saved? I've been thinking about that and I come to the conclusion I want to go to heaven when I die. Can you show me? Could you show them? Could you do that simple task and show them from Scripture how they can know for sure they're going to heaven? I mentioned earlier two types of Christians. One Christian who doesn't know the Scripture just simply because they're ignorant. They haven't been saved very long or maybe some other reasons. They just don't know what the Scripture says. But then there's the other group that do know the Scripture, but they're just flat out rebellious to it. I want you to see this amazing verse, Isaiah chapter 30. This is probably the only other place I'll have you turn this morning. Isaiah chapter 30. Peter had some similar statements to this. He said something about the day will come when people won't endure sound doctrine. They'll want to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Pastor mentioned that recently. This is a similar passage to that. Verse 9 of chapter 30 in Isaiah says, now this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Well, that's what the word means, turn aside out of the path, doesn't it? And he says, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wow, wow, wow. Essentially, this rebellious people said, stop telling us the truth. Just give us stuff that tickles our ears. Just give us, don't try to convict us of sin. And don't try to preach on us, preach to us about our sin. Just tell us really smooth things, things that make us feel good. And there's plenty of churches like that out there today. Just make you feel good and send you on your way. And they said, and they even went as far to say, tell the Holy One of Israel to get away from us. Wow. How do you think God feels about that? Well, friend, are you able to navigate your Bible? It's always an embarrassing thing when the preacher says, turn to Micah or Hosea or something like that, and we're we're trying to find it. And I understand sometimes that can be a challenge, but you know what? You need to have a handle on your Bible that you know where. At least know that some certain book is in the New Testament, a certain book is in the Old Testament. Be able to navigate your Bible. Can you quote 5 verses this morning? Can you quote just 5 verses? And as I said earlier, if someone walked up and said, could you show me how to go to heaven? Could you at least do that? And if the answer is no to some of those things, look, I'm not trying to embarrass you this morning. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm trying to get you to see that God puts a high value on His Word, and so much so that He said, I elevated it, I've magnified it above my own name. And Christians, my children, my people, I want you to value it also. And that's really the point of the message this morning, is to try to get us to put the Bible in its proper place in our lives, to love it, to study it, to understand it, try to understand it, to read it, to memorize it, to share it, to love it. As the psalmist said so much in Psalm 119. If you haven't read that chapter in a while, read Psalm 119. It's all about Scripture. It uses different words, as we saw, testimonies, laws, statutes, commandments, judgments, etc. But it's all about the law, the Bible. And he talks about how much he loves it. He uses the word love over and over again in regarding the Word. I like what the Christians at Berea, what was said about them in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. What's it say next? And search the Scriptures once a week? Daily. They search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Are you a Berean Christian? That's what they were saying about the Bereans. They were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they searched the Scriptures daily. They searched the Scriptures daily. And that's exactly what you and I ought to do. We ought to take this book every morning and search its pages. And through the pages of your Bible, there might be some tear stains. There should be places that are underlined and highlighted in notes. And maybe you don't believe in writing in your Bible. That's fine. But boy, the pages should be worn and it should look like it's really been used. Love the Bible. God has given us the Scripture. We need to fall in love with it. I was mentioning to the Sunday school class about the discipline of prayer. And I was saying, you know, you don't do things that you don't schedule. If you don't plan to say, well, from 7 o'clock to 7:30 or whatever, I'm going and have it on a schedule, or at least in your mind scheduled. You don't necessarily have to write it down, but it's a scheduled event. At 7 o'clock, my Bible is out. And I'm in it. And at 7:30, I'll switch and then I'll pray for a little while. If you don't do that on purpose, it's not going to happen. It just isn't. I'm sorry. There's no magic or like, you know, one day I'll have been saved. Maybe when I get saved on year 12, the Lord's going to sprinkle some dust on me and suddenly I'm going to be in my Bible every day. Sorry, it doesn't happen that way. It's pure character. And why is it character? Well, how do we get to that place where we realize it is character? We get to that place by understanding that the Bible is important to our Heavenly Father. Remember someone said, I had a friend who took the fly leaf of his Bible on the inside. His name was John. And he wrote on the front of his Bible before Genesis in the blank page, he wrote, Dear John. And then on the back page, in the back of the Bible, after Revelation, another blank page, he put, Love, Jesus. And he said, this is my love letter from Jesus. Like, Dear John, then in the beginning, or Genesis 1:1, I just blanked out. In the beginning was God. There we go. And then at the end of the Bible, signed, Jesus. Love, Jesus. Like it's a love letter to Him from Jesus. Let's move on here. But His delight, I like that word, delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. That's thinking about the Bible, thinking about its truths. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. There's one of those examples I was telling you about. Here's another one. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Can't you just hear the psalmist saying those things? Wow. So not only do people of the world do not know the scriptures, people of the way, unfortunately, that's us sometimes. Sometimes we don't know the scriptures. But thirdly, people of wisdom do know the scriptures. Or getting to know them. Maybe I should put it that way. Because you never get to know it all. People of wisdom. If you read the Bible, you'll become more wise. And contrarily, you are a wise person if you read the Bible. It's kind of like a circle. You'll be wise by reading the Bible. You'll get wise. You'll get wisdom. You're also wise if you choose to read the Bible. So it works both ways. Well, this verse I said, through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies. How did he get wiser? Through the Bible. Proverbs 1. Talking about the Bible, or the Proverbs specifically, but we could say the whole Bible. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. This is a good one. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, the sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If you are a wise Christian, you will clearly understand the importance of knowing, studying, and loving the scriptures. And how many people want wisdom? I do. I need wisdom. James said, look, if you lack wisdom, just ask God. He'll give it to you. But another source of wisdom is the scripture. And another source of wisdom is soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. I think it's Proverbs 11:30, something like that. He that winneth souls is wise. Well, I want wisdom. And I want to be a person that can get wisdom from God. I can ask Him, yeah, but guess what? I can get it from Scripture too. And by reading the Scripture, I can get wisdom from God. But I want to see a few things here about this. The Scriptures teach us about eternal life. There's something about wise Christians, or Christians who are getting wiser from the Scripture, but there's some things that we understand or should understand, and one is, the Scriptures teach us about eternal life. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. 2 Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, what? Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so those are some verses about, we understand that Scripture teaches us about salvation. That's why we want to tell it to the lost. That's why we want to take it to people. We said people of the world do not know the Scripture, but they need to know it. They need to learn about salvation. But secondly, the Scriptures are sustenance for my spiritual health and growth. I said this earlier, if we want to grow as a Christian, we have to be feeding on the Word of God. Peter said it this way, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You've seen it just like I have, a little newborn baby or a little baby, you get that, they see that bottle, and they just can't get it quick enough. Well, they shove it in their mouth and they go to town on it. And that's a great picture, because maybe we should be that way. Maybe we should be that way in the morning when we see our Bible. We say, I can't wait to get my Bible. I can't wait to get in my Bible. I want to grow as a Christian. Of course, there is no standing still in the Christian life. If I'm not growing, I'm going backwards. That's all there is to it. I'll never stand still. I must be growing. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Bible is sustenance for my spiritual health and my spiritual growth. Thirdly, the Scriptures are a source of comfort and hope. Boy, I came upon this verse. I never realized this verse before. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, wow, might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures, and because of the Scriptures, we have hope. Reminds me of the other verse that we talked about earlier. It said that we ought to always be ready to give an answer to every man. And an answer about what? About the hope that lies in us. People should see us different. They should see you behaving differently and acting differently and living differently. And they look at you and say, hey, what is it about you? You're going through this. You're going through that. I've never seen such trials come to a man, and yet you do it with a smile on your face. What's different about you? Are you ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you? And Christians, we have hope. Amen. We have hope. I've been to saved people funerals, and I've been to lost people funerals. Have you? And there's a big difference, isn't there? Big difference. We have hope. I've been waiting to get to this part. We'll finish with this. This is my favorite part. As Christians, we understand the Scripture tells us about eternal life. We understand that Scripture is our sustenance so we can be healthy spiritually and we can grow spiritually. As believers, we understand that the Scriptures are a source of comfort and of hope. How many times have you had a tear in your eye and you reached for your Bible and just opened it, maybe to Psalms, and just started reading? Boy, comfort came. I've done that. Have you? Comfort. The Scriptures can bring comfort. Great comfort. But finally, amen, the Scriptures are all about Jesus. Whether you're in Genesis, He was the Creator. In Exodus, He's the Lawgiver. He was the Passover Lamb. We could march right through all the books of the Bible and see Jesus. Because from cover to cover, this book is all about Jesus. And friends, all that I've said this morning, yes, I want to read my Bible. Yes, I want to pray. Yes, I want to tell others about Jesus. And yes, I want to get to know the book more. And yes, I'm glad it's a book of comfort and a book of hope. But you know what? Above all of that, I'm so glad that it's a book that tells me about Jesus. He's my Savior. And I want to learn about Him. I want to know about Him. That's the only book on earth that will tell us about the Savior, about Jesus, and everything that He wants us to know. So yes, it's about Jesus. Look at these amazing verses from John 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record. What's a record? Something that has been recorded, right? This is the record that who? God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son, Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of who? The Son of God. It's all about Jesus. That ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on Jesus. The name of the Son of God, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He saved me. 32 years ago. I've told you the story of working at a gas station. A young man was witnessing to me. When he left for the night and I had to stay and close up shop for that next 2 hours, the phone didn't ring. No cars came for gas. Nothing. It was just dead. It was like God says, okay, Kelly, it's you and me now. What's it going to be? And boy, He was dealing in my heart and I started bawling like a baby. I reached for the telephone. I called my dad. The man who was witnessing to me, he left and I didn't know how to get a hold of him. And I was like, oh, what do I do now? You know, he was telling me I'm going to go to hell if I die without Jesus. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to take Jesus as my Savior. But well, I don't know what to do. And then my father came in my mind because he had always been witnessing to me. So I called my dad. And I said, I was crying on the phone. He said, what's up, son? I said, I don't know. Well, something's wrong. You're crying. He said, what is it? I said, I just want to be saved, Dad.
Oh, man, my dad waited years to hear that, hear me say that. Boy, he said, you come over, come over. He goes, we'll take care of it. I said, I can't. I've got to work for 2 more hours. He said, will you come after work? I said, okay, I will. He said, promise me. I said, I promise. He said, no, I'm not. Or I said, no, I'll be there. He goes, no, promise me. Because between now, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, the devil will talk you out of it. I didn't know what that meant, but I just said, okay, I promise I'll be there. Boy, 10 o'clock couldn't come soon enough. I was for 2 hours, I was just wringing my hands, pacing the floor, hoping that someone would come in for a tire change or come get some gas or something. And no one showed up, but finally 10 o'clock came and I closed up the shop, counted the till, put it in the safe. Turned the lights off, locked the door, went out, put my helmet on, jumped on my Kawasaki LTV 1000, boom, fired it up, and away I went to my dad's house, just hoping I didn't crash that motorcycle before I got to his house, because I wouldn't have ended up in heaven. And we sat at the kitchen table, and he showed me from the Scripture. He didn't show me from some magazine. He didn't show me from some book. He showed me from the Bible, the Holy Bible, God's Holy Word. He showed me that I could have my sins forgiven and I could go to heaven when I die. And who did that for me? Jesus! Jesus did it. And that's His book. And friend, if you're not in His book on a daily basis, you err. You're wrong. You're in error. You've deviated from the right path. Jesus said, ye err, not knowing the Scriptures. It's all about Jesus. There's an old song that I really love. It's called, I Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy. And in that second stanza of that song, it talks about the Lord. He said, when I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. The sights were too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I spoke with Mark and Timothy. Here it comes. But I said, I want to see Jesus, for He's the one who died for all. Amen. Yeah, when I get to heaven, it's going to be fun to talk to Moses. Say, Moses, what was it like at the Red Sea? Noah, man, you swung that hammer for 120 years. Tell me about it. But apart from all of that, yeah, I want to see them, but you know what? I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for me. He's the one who died for you. Friend, this is His book. Do you love it? Do you love it this morning? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you, but listen, if you're a Christian, you need to read this book every day. Jesus said, you are my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. It's clear, we're clearly commanded that this is how we live. We live and die by this book. This book will judge us one day. And we need to love this book, friends. In a few moments, we'll stand. We'll have our invitation. And I want to invite you, if you already love this book, or you just want to thank God for the Bible, that you'd come down to the altar and say, Lord, thank you for your book. If that's all you want to say, just thank you for your book. That's a good start. Others might want to say, Lord, I've neglected your book, but I want to start. I want to start reading it like I should. I want to get to know my Jesus better. I found this picture. I wouldn't necessarily want my Bible to look this way, but that's a bit messy. But whosever Bible that is, they're studying their Bible. Now, I wouldn't have mine looking that way. I do believe in writing and marking my Bible, but not too messy. But you know what? Your Bible should be worn because you're in it. Should have tear stains. Mine still looks fairly new. My wife just got this for me for my birthday recently. But my previous Bible's full of notes, full of markings. All pages are coming out. It's all tore up. We need to use our Bibles.